It's time for One Man's Family now, and then it'll be time for the Quiz Kids. A full hour of entertainment. One Man's Family, then the Quiz Kids.
One Man's Family, brought to you by TABCIN, Tabsin, the new improved antihistaminic tablet for the symptoms of colds and hay fever, made by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today we present Chapter 9, Book 74, entitled Jack Overwhelms Betty. The flowers have never been more beautiful than they are this year in San Francisco. And here in Seacliff, the snowballs are in bloom. And in another few days, the lilac will be sending their heady purple fragrance into the balmy spring air. At this moment, on a bright Saturday morning at the end of May, Henry Barber's lovely garden is hushed and empty. Hushed, except for the endless hum of bees and the occasional raucous voice of a drifting gull. Margaret, Hazel's daughter, stopping by the family home to see her grandfather, peers disappointedly into the garden and then spies Father Barber puttering around the fountain on the lower terrace.
Hi, Grandfather. Hello.
Margaret, good morning. Come here and see these goldfish. Oh, remember that big fellow with the black tail? Oh, he's as fat as a pig. Here, kneel down here and look at him.
Oh, we had a name for him last year.
Tubby, you called it. Well, he's fatter than ever now. There he is.
Where?
Where did he go? There he is, see?
Oh, he is a pig.
Greedy fellow.
Quick, though.
What are you doing over here?
Oh, I came to see you. Mom and Pinky are shopping. They're going to come by and pick me up.
Not too soon, I hope. Let's sit down on the bench.
All right. Oh, no, you sit on this side of me. You sit right here. Huh? Right here, Grandfather.
What difference does it make?
Well, don't you remember? Huh? A long, long time ago, when we sat here like this once when I was pretty scared.
You were scared?
Well, don't you remember?
Oh, frightened about what?
School. Huh? We were talking in science class about our earliest memories. And that was just this week, Wednesday. And I said the earliest clear memory I've got was sitting on a bench with my grandfather. And I was 6 years old, and I was scared.
Oh, yes.
Gee, how could you forget?
Well, I have so many memories, Margaret. Years of memories. Tell me more and see if it comes back.
It must have been Sunday, because the next day I was going into the first grade. I had a crazy idea. I had to know how to read. I thought I should have learned how to read in kindergarten.
No.
Isn't that silly? I thought every kid in the first grade could already read and spell.
I think I do remember.
And I sat here with you. It seemed like all day, but it was probably only for a few minutes.
And what happened?
Oh, the things you said made me feel so comfortable and safe.
What did I say?
Oh, you said I was trying to be 8 or 9 years old, and all anybody expected of me was to be my own age, which was 6.
I did? Pretty good advice, eh?
Uh-huh. But you know something? I had the same scared feeling about a week ago.
Huh?
A counselor from high school came over to talk to the 8th graders.
Yeah?
Yeah, about Latin and algebra and, orientation. All of a sudden, my hands were sweating and kind of a cold feeling went right up into my hair.
Oh.
But then I thought, I don't have to know Latin and algebra to start with, and I don't have to try to be 16 or 17.
Nobody expects you to be anything but just 13, that's all.
Maybe next September, on the Sunday before I start into high school, maybe it would be a good idea if we came down here by the fountain and had another talk.
You aren't still scared about high school?
Not about the studies.
About what, then?
Oh, how to behave.
Huh?
Boys.
What about boys?
How to talk to them.
What's that?
Older boys, well, Grandfather, they do something to my whole vocal system.
Oh, you don't say.
Oh, it's awful, Grandfather. You know what happened? One of Pinky's friends, Al somebody, he's a senior at high school. Well, he dropped in to wait for Pinky at our house, and I had to entertain him for about 7 minutes. And it was horrible.
What was horrible about it?
My throat tightened, and I just sort of leaned against the wall, and there were long pauses, and I couldn't think of anything to say.
Man of the world, was he?
Oh, yeah. He's smooth, yeah.
Why didn't he talk?
Huh?
Why did he allow all those pauses?
Oh, he couldn't think of anything to say either.
Huh?
He was self-conscious, too. You want me to give you a little tip? Never assume that people are thinking about you, Margaret, or being critical of you. No. It's a scientific fact that everybody thinks about himself 95% of the time. And it's easy to let the other fellow talk. All you have to do is listen.
But what if he doesn't start talking?
You start him.
But how?
Well, this friend of Pinky's, what was he interested in?
Rocks.
Huh?
Geology, rocks. He had a big rock with him, and he was going to show it to Pinky. A black rock.
Did you ask him questions about it?
No.
Now, you find out what people are interested in. Ask one or two questions, and you'll hear more conversation than you'll know what to do with.
Huh?
If you are really interested in other people, Margaret, you'll never be ill at ease because they'll respond to your interest. And you'll not need to lean against the wall and suffer through those long pauses.
Gee, you know what?
Yeah.
I have almost the same kind of feeling I had that day when we were down here when I was only six.
Oh, what feeling, Margaret?
Oh, a safe feeling. As if no matter what I needed to know, you could always tell me.
If you feel a miserable cold coming on, or if someone in your family is beginning to sniffle and sneeze, then right now is the time to remember Tabsin. Yes, at the first sign of a cold, take Tabsin quick. Tabsin, spelled T-A-B-C-I-N, is the new and better antihistaminic tablet developed by Miles Laboratories for cold and hay fever symptoms. And Tabsin is designed to check cold symptoms fast. Tabsin contains an effective antihistamine to check the sniffling and sneezing, the irritation in the nose and throat. And Tabsin goes even further. It also helps relieve those aches and pains of a cold and reduce fever. Tabsin also contains a special ingredient to help counteract drowsiness. Tabsin is easier to take because it is a smooth-coated tablet, easy to swallow with no unpleasant aftertaste. If you've tried Tabsin for cold symptoms, you know how effective it is. And if you haven't tried Tabsin yet, let me urge you to get some today and keep it on hand, ready to come to the rescue the next time a cold strikes in your family. Remember the name Tabsin, T-A-B-C-I-N, the bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. Hazel Barber Murray and her son Pinky leave their car in the driveway of the family home and are surprised to see Joan sitting alone on the upper terrace.
Well, Joan.
Hiya, Joanie. How's the girl?
Please don't call me Joanie. How are you, Hazel?
Hey, you're looking kind of sharp today.
Yes, that's a charming outfit, Joan.
Thank you.
What are you doing over here?
I'm running errands this morning. I came over to borrow the chafing dish.
Oh, having guests at your house?
No. Just some new recipe Claudia wants to try.
What's the matter with you? Don't you feel good?
I'm perfectly all right. Grandmother's talking to Emily Stewart on the telephone, so I'm just waiting.
And a lovely place to wait, too. Isn't this the most beautiful morning?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Oh, there's Father and Margaret. What are they doing down at the fountain?
Counting goldfish, I guess. I don't know.
Father! Hello, I'll be right down. Don't wander away, Pinky. We're not going to stay long.
Okay, Mom. Mind if I sit down?
No.
What's eating you?
Nothing.
You know what I heard a guy say about you at school yesterday?
No, and I'm not sure it can possibly matter.
Well, gee.
What did he say?
Burke, you know him, the editor of the Clarion.
I know him. He's a dizzard. Well, what did he say?
He said you have a sullen beauty and the prettiest pout he ever saw. He said if he was an artist, he'd want to paint you.
He'd want to paint me? How did he happen to say that?
Well, I don't know. We were just kind of having a conversation.
What did you tell him?
Hmm?
What did you tell him about me?
Hmm?
You talk too darn much, Pinky.
Well, I didn't say anything.
I'll bet you told him about Joseph Creighton.
Hmm?
Didn't you? I'll bet you said that you knew an artist who refused to paint my portrait. Sure, you told everything you know. I've wondered sometimes what you talk to people about in the halls. Every time I come out of a classroom, there you are, going yakety, yakety, yakety. What do you say to people? Tell all the family secrets?
Gosh, Joan, I just have conversation.
You just try to act important. Why don't you grow up?
Gosh, you didn't just get out of the wrong side of bed this morning. You must have fallen out on your head.
What did you say about Joe Creighton?
I didn't even mention his name.
You said something about him. I know darn well you did.
I didn't say hardly anything, Joan. Gee whiz, I don't go around talking about the family. We were talking about art and stuff.
Yes? For instance?
All I said about you was... Well, I said you had a beautiful smile, but nobody had seen it lately.
What else?
Well, that's about all. Gee, what are you getting so excited about?
Yakety, yakety. 2 or 3 days before there was anything in the papers, the kids around school knew all about my inheritance. They started calling me the heiress. Well, how did they find out?
I don't know, Joan.
Somebody talks too much. I'm not a fool, Pinky.
Look, I hardly ever mention you, Joan, honest. It's just... Well, the guys are curious about you. If they ask Hank and me questions, they wouldn't even think of asking you.
Hank doesn't talk too much. I know Hank.
Well, I don't either. I always give him a kind of a vague answer.
When people are prying into my private affairs, you don't need to answer at all.
Gosh, you're just sore at the whole world this morning.
Oh, never mind.
Didn't you want to come over and borrow the chafing dish or what?
I offered to come and get it. Anything to get out of the house.
Gosh, if I had your dough,
Oh, I'm sick of hearing what you'd do if you had it. You don't know what you'd do.
Well, you'd taken my advice in the first place. If you had a business manager...
Oh, guff, I don't want to discuss it. What in the world is Grandmother doing? Oh, Grandmother!
Coming, Joan.
You know, I've got some good ideas on finance, if you'd let me tell you.
No, thanks.
Remember, Stuart, get on the phone. Honestly, she... Oh, Pinky, I didn't know you were here.
Hi, Grandmother.
Well, hi, there's Hazel and Margaret. Hello!
Hello, Mother.
Hi, Grandmother.
Why didn't you tell me they were here?
You were on the telephone.
Here, Grandmother, let me take the chafing dish.
Never mind, I'll get it. I've got to go anyway.
Oh, sit down a moment, Joan. You never sleep when you're here.
I've stayed quite a while. I have to go, Grandmother. Thank you very much. Claudia will bring it back tomorrow.
Joan, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Joan.
What's the great hurry?
Bye.
Well, not very cheerful this morning. How are you, Mother?
Hazel, Margaret, dear.
Girl, Emily Stewart got on the telephone just as Joan came in, so she waited and waited. You know, Emily.
Mm.
You know, I've always liked Emily. She's a good-hearted soul.
You have to be very careful what you say to her. The Associated Press can't distribute information any faster than Emily. Let's all sit down and have a nice chat.
Oh, we can't stay, Father. Dan's waiting for the car. We have a million things to do. Well, what's the matter, Pinky?
Huh? It's kind of depressing when you have a rich cousin and she's always sore at you.
Pinky?
Oh, can't you stay?
No, really, Mother. We've got to get along. Come on, kids.
Thank you, Grandfather.
Huh?
Thank you very much for... You know.
What's all this?
Oh, it's a little secret we have, eh, Margaret?
Yes, Grandfather.
You two and your secrets. Well, see you. Goodbye, Hazel.
Come back this afternoon if you have time. Well, we aren't planning anything. We'll just be sitting here.
Yes, we will if we can.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, you're going to change your shoes now before you come in the house.
Yes, I'm not coming in the house right now, Fanny.
Oh, there's the phone again. I hope Emily isn't calling me back.
Well, look, there's Jack. He's home early.
Now, I'll be back in a minute, Henry.
Well, he's got a big package with him. Jack! Jack!
Hi, Dan.
You're home early. What's that you've got?
Surprise for Betty.
Huh? What did you say?
I'll tell you later, Dan.
Jack, home early. Big package. I hope he isn't letting that little raise of his go to his head.
Oh, you gave me a start. I was expecting you this early, Jack. What happened?
Oh, I knocked off about 11 this morning. Had something I wanted to do.
Hungry? I'll get you some lunch.
No hurry. You know where I went?
Hmm?
I told you I left the office early. Aren't you curious?
You're getting pretty independent, Mr. Jack Barber, since you got your raise. You usually stick around that old office till 1:30 or 2 on Saturdays.
Correct, my little cherubin. Not today, though.
Jack, what's got into you? You didn't get another raise.
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Well, what? Now I am curious.
Okay, sit down there and close your eyes.
Oh, I love surprises. What is it?
Sit down, woman, because this is liable to knock you over.
Is it something for me?
Got your eyes closed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now don't you peek.
Where are you going?
I left something here in the hall.
Can I open yet?
Gosh, no. I'll tell you when.
Jack, I can't stand it. Hurry up.
Just a second now. I'm not ready yet. Hey, you're peeking.
Jack, I'm not either.
Okay. Wait till I get this string off this box.
How big a box?
Never mind. There. You want to open it, or shall I?
Oh, let me. Can I open my eyes?
Let me put the box in your lap first. There you are, Mrs. Jack Barber. Open your eyes and be glad.
Oh, such a great big box. Oh, Jack, I'm so excited.
Take the lid off and look at it.
Oh, you're just a darling to buy something for me. Let me give you a great big kiss before I even look. Bend down here. You wonderful husband, you.
You love me?
I adore you. Just adore you.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll take the lid off for you. Now, you do the rest.
Oh, it's a coat.
Well, take it out.
Grab the box and let me stand up and look.
Okay.
It's a long coat. It's a long coat.
Yeah, yeah. You like the color?
Why, it's blue. Oh, Jack, it's lovely. Just lovely.
You like it, huh?
And I needed a coat so badly. That was so thoughtful of you, darling.
Oh, try it on. I'll hold it for you.
Okay. Don't step on the box, Jack.
You won't need that anymore.
Well, I don't want it to be smashed. I might have to take the coat back to be fitted or something.
Oh, yeah. But I think it's going to fit you like a glove, Betty. The girl in the store was just about your size and... Oh, here, put it on.
Oh, my arms just slide into these sleeves. Feels nice and warm.
Yeah, it's a winter coat. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Button it up.
All right.
You like those big buttons? They got kind of a brass edging. It carries out the military effect, see?
Mm-hmm.
And those wide lapels?
Huh.
You see how it's fitted in at the waist? Turn around, let's see. Yeah. Gosh, I think the girl was right. I don't think you'll have to have a thing done to it. It's a lot lighter blue than I thought it was in the store, and... You sure you like that color all right?
No, I love blue, Jack. The only thing is, I haven't...
The sales girl told me about it, the cut, I mean. It's copied after the Directoire period.
Directoire? What's that?
Oh, you know, Napoleonic. Before he was emperor.
Oh.
That military effect looks good on you, Betty. I told the girl in the store all about you. What a cute figure you had, and how we got six kids and all. She wouldn't believe me when I told her you only weighed 117 pounds. She said that's about what she weighed, but she couldn't have been more than 25 at the most. We got real chummy. She said she hoped she'd find a nice husband like me someday and have kids. She said six was too many, but... Hey, Betty, you crying?
Oh, Jack.
Gosh, what's the matter, honey?
Nothing.
Did I hurt your feelings or something, talking about that girl in the store?
No.
Did I make you jealous? Gosh sakes, she wasn't half as cute as you are.
Oh, Jack, darling, I love you so.
Because I bought you a coat, huh?
You're the best husband a person could have. Just the best and the most unselfish. Buying me a coat when you need a new suit so bad. Why didn't you buy yourself a suit like you promised?
Well, I was going to, but I happened to see an ad in the paper this morning about a sale downtown, and they had a picture of this coat. You know, one of those sketches with a tall dame wearing one? Of course, it's a winter coat. That's why it was reduced. They were clearing them out.
Yes, it's late for a sale of winter things.
Yeah. Well, I guess this model didn't sell very well. I got it for half the original cost. Girl said it was wonderful material.
Oh, yes, I can tell that by feeling it.
And even though it was only half priced, it still wasn't cheap.
Jack, I don't care what it cost.
Yeah. You sure you like it, Betty?
Of course, I love it.
Yeah. Of course, it is a winter coat. But in San Francisco, you never know when a fog might come up, and it does get awful windy sometimes in the summer.
I know.
You like that military effect? See, with those wide lapels and collar, you can turn it up. Try that.
This way?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks smart like that. I told you they got the idea from Napoleon, didn't I? Directoire?
Yes.
It is a pretty light blue, isn't it? You're sure that color's okay now?
Well, I... Just feel how soft the material is, Jack.
Uh-huh. It's 100% wool, Betty. There's a little label inside there that says so.
Keep me nice and warm. Be fine this winter.
Well, you can wear it in the summer, too, Betty. I asked about that.
Of course.
Well, don't you want to look at yourself in it?
Huh?
Why don't you go upstairs and take a look in your full-length mirror? You haven't actually seen yourself in it.
I think I'll run over and show it to Mother Barber.
Oh, swell. Show it to Dad, too. He saw me coming in with a package. Told him I had a surprise for you.
You want to come with me?
Well, no, you go ahead. I want to kind of clean up a little before lunch.
Well, I... Won't be long. I'll come back and fix you something to eat.
Okay.
Nicolette took the children for a walk. Tell her where I am if she gets back before me.
Yeah. But don't forget to show the coat to Dad. I think it's just the kind of thing he'll go for.
Yes. Must be getting on towards noon, isn't it, Clifford?
Just about, Dad.
Yeah, better be getting in the house. Your mother will be calling us to lunch shortly, I imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, get something palatable today. Mrs. Kettleman's off.
Poor old Mrs. Kettleman. She just can't hold a candle to Mom, can she?
If I had my way, she would have been out of this household years ago.
Oh, she does pretty well on the whole, Dad. Mom knows how to handle her. It's just that you're... Well, look what's coming through the hedge.
Huh?
It's Betty. Where's the coat going with a girl?
Hi.
Woo, is that coat blue?
Jack bring you that?
Uh-huh. How do you like it?
That's what you call a military motive, isn't it, Betty?
Jack picked this out all by himself and brought it home to me.
Yeah, looks a little long.
Where's Mother Barber?
She's right inside, honey, in the kitchen, I think.
I want to go in and show her.
Well, let me open the screen for my lady.
Thanks.
Enter, madame.
Thanks. Mother Barber?
I'm right here.
It's Betty. I've got something to show you.
What's that?
I ran over to show you what Jack brought home.
Oh, Betty, I'm just starting to get lunch for... What? Well, you've got a new coat.
Uh-huh. Jack bought it for me.
Oh. Well, how nice.
He wanted you to see it. I mean, I did.
Did Jack go out and buy that all by himself?
Mm-hmm. This morning. It was a surprise.
Well, I should think so.
Huh?
Do you like it, Betty?
Do you?
Betty, I just think it's perfectly awful, don't you, really? Oh, my dear, I know just how you feel.
What am I going to do, Mother Barber? I can't hurt Jack's feelings. It was so sweet of him.
Now, here, sit down.
I can't take it back. It was so wonderful of him to do it. I know it cost him a lot of money, and he needs a new suit. He hasn't bought himself anything in ages. He was so proud when he brought this home.
I know. Every woman's been through this at one time or another, Betty.
There's nothing I can wear with this color. I haven't anything that'll go with it.
It's the worst blue I've ever seen. What in the world possessed Jack, do you suppose?
And look, Mother Barber, see? It's a fitted coat. It's a style I can't wear well.
It's a style I don't think anybody could wear, Betty.
Jack said it was supposed to be Napoleonic period. Some name I've forgotten. Anyway, it had something to do with Napoleon.
Well, it certainly looks it.
I feel terrible making fun of it this way. What am I going to tell Jack?
You want me to tell him, and I think I'll be able to fix it.
Why don't I just wear it? It won't kill me. I'll go on pretending I think it's wonderful, and he'll never know.
But that color, Betty. Even if the style were all right, you still couldn't find things that would go with that color.
No.
And why should you be miserable every time you put it on?
The thought of hurting Jack after you...
Oh, you're not going to hurt him any such thing. I'll take care of it for you.
What'll you tell him?
Why, I'll tell him that it's just impractical. You love the coat, but you don't want to spend a lot of money getting accessories and clothes to go with that particular color. That it doesn't go with what you have. And now, don't worry. I've been through this with Henry.
When I took the coat out of the box, I almost died. But if you could have seen the look on Jack's face, he wanted me to like it so much. And I tried not to let on that I was disappointed.
Of course. Now, why will men do these things?
Well, I better get back. Jack hasn't had lunch.
All right, now, don't worry about it, Betty, dear.
What goes in here?
You getting hungry, Clifford?
Well, I could do with a touch of food. So that's the new coat, huh, Betty?
Mm-hmm.
Dad said he saw Jack coming home in the big box.
Yeah, well, I'm going to run on home. Thanks, Mother Barber.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Mom.
Mm-hmm?
Am I nuts, or is that coat as bad as I think it is?
Don't you like it?
Oh, it's such a kind of funny style, and it's so blue.
Well, just don't say anything about it. I'm going to talk to Jack, and she may be able to take it back.
Henry?
Yes, Henry, I'm fixing lunch now.
No hurry, my dear.
No hurry. But you're coming in here looking like a hungry wolf. Has Paul come home from the airport?
No, not yet.
You're not going to wait for him, are you? He's often delayed out there.
No. I'm going to give you something in a few minutes, and I'll put something aside for Paul.
Oh, did you know he got a cablegram from Christine this morning?
Huh?
Paul did?
Yeah, just before he left.
Well, it wasn't bad news, was it?
Well, I don't think it was good news, exactly.
Did he say anything about it?
I was there when he opened. He looked kind of disturbed. I didn't want to ask him about it.
Well, how did you know it was from Christine?
He told me that much. Said it was an answer to a wire he'd sent her in London.
Well, what in the world?
Had something to do with Rex Frome. As Paul left, he said, "I don't like it. That Rex Frome is going to give us trouble yet."
Thank you.
As usual on a sunny afternoon, Father Barber is busy in his beloved garden. He's tamping peat moss gently around his prize azaleas when the pastoral quiet is interrupted.
Getting so sea cliff sounds like Marcus Street. Rude, noisy clatter.
Henry!
Here. Huh? Judge Hunter? Glenn!
What are you doing away from your torts and tomes, gallivanting around instead of attending to your client's business?
Precisely what I was doing, Henry. Visiting a client. Lives out here in Seacliff. Saw you in your garden and paused to extend a friendly greeting.
Well, let's get in, Glenn. Come, Fanny will make us a cup of tea.
Thank you, no, Henry. Much as I'd enjoy the pleasure of Fanny's company, I must get myself down to the club at once.
Oh, nonsense. What?
Made a confounded fool of myself last night. And as a consequence, find myself coming down with a cold.
Well, come in and let Fanny take care of you. There's nothing she'd like better than...
No, Henry, I know my colds and you don't. Tend to get right into bed and send down for hot lemonade, hot water bottle, mustard plaster.
Oh, mustard plaster. I don't wonder that modern science can't penetrate into the dusty world of legal folderer. Apparently, you lawyer fellows never even heard of Tabson.
No, Henry. Can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Then I know that you consider my opinions of no consequence, but you do agree that my wife, Fanny, is a woman of sound judgment and common sense?
Precisely.
Then you come right inside and let Fanny give you some Tabson. She says it can nip a cold right in the butt. Yes. Fanny will explain everything.
And it's a safe bet that after a talk with Mother Barber, Judge Hunter will try Tabson for his cold. And that's what we'd like you to do the next time you have a cold. We can tell you how wonderful Tabson is, the reasons for its effectiveness, but you'll never really find out for yourself until you try it. So do try it. Convince yourself that Tabson, the new antihistaminic tablet that checks cold symptoms fast, is better than anything you've ever tried before. Get Tabson today, and the very next time you feel a cold coming on, take Tabson quick. That's Tabson, T-A-B-C-I-N, for cold and hay fever symptoms. The bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. You've just heard Chapter 9, Book 74 of One Man's Family, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse for T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabson, the new improved antihistaminic tablet for the symptoms of colds and hay fever, made by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Chapter 10, entitled That Creighton Man Again, will come to you next week at this same time. Have you tried Bactine, the remarkable new family antiseptic? Listen to this trial offer. Send 10 cents and your name and address to Miles Laboratories, Department 1, Elkhart, Indiana, for a full 30-cent bottle of Bactine. B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine is more than a germicide, has many more uses in your home. Bactine is a clear, colorless liquid with a fresh, clean odor. Does not sting nor burn like harsher antiseptics. Does not stain. Try it. Send 10 cents to Miles Laboratories, Department 1, Elkhart, Indiana, for a full 30-cent bottle of Bactine. And now the family invites you to stay tuned for the Quiz Kids, who follow immediately over most of these stations. Today's special guest will be Dorothy Shea, the Park Avenue Hillbilly. One Man's Family comes to you from California.
Stay tuned for Mystery, the Big Guy and the Falcon on NBC.